You may have heard about the old boy from the backwoods who got up one Sunday morning and went to church. And when he came home, his neighbor said, "Say," he said, "didn't see you well this morning." And he said, "Where was you?" And he said, "Oh, I went to church." "Oh, you went to church?" "Yes." "Well, was it a good sermon you heard?" "Oh, it was a good sermon, a mighty good one." "Well, what did the preacher talk about?" "Well, he talked about sin." "Sin, he did? Well, what did he say about it?" "Well, I don't rightly remember everything, but I gathered that he was agin it." Yeah, well, see, you don't remember all the words of every sermon. But if you go away with one message, just one concept, like the old boy did, that can be remembered and used and applied and become part of your walk, well, then it was all worthwhile. And so we hope that today there will be at least one concept to take away. And yes, there will be 5 words. You can remember 5 words, can't you? Yeah, I'm going to try real hard. I think I can, and I think you can too. Just 5 words that'll fix everything. Wouldn't it be nice if that were true? Well, it is. 5 words that'll fix everything, and things can go wrong in life, and discouragements can come, and challenges can rise before us, but even so, there's a way to raise our spirits in the midst of all that and fix everything. Back there a long time ago, at the old North Bridge in Concord, Massachusetts, the American colonies were in existence, and the colonists, as you recall, were getting more and more restless and chafing under the governorship of the king across the sea. And they began more and more to think of how nice it would be to make their own decisions and rule their own territory. And so there at the old North Bridge in Concord, the fighting began. The fighting that changed history for this continent and really affected the whole world. And you remember those famous words, "By the rude bridge that arched the flood, their flag to April's breeze unfurled. Here once the embattled farmers stood and fired the shot heard round the world." That's where it all began, and today we have iPhones. And we drive cars, and we fly in airplanes, and we live in the land of the free and the home of the brave because of those brave souls who fired the shot heard round the world and stood up for what they wanted and believed. And they brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. You know all those famous words. Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote that poem that's inscribed on the monument there at the old North Bridge in Concord, Massachusetts. His grandfather lived 300 feet in the old manse, just 300 feet away from that bridge. And Emerson's grandfather and his dad, who was a little boy at the time, stood there on the porch and they saw that battle. And they heard those shots being fired, and 75 years later or so, Emerson penned that poem, and it was inscribed on the monument. That was just one of many of the pivotal events in Earth's history, and it's gone down in our memories, that shot heard round the world, and there were others. I sat in the Pauline Epistles class, Sarah, at PUC, Pacific Union College, and Professor Lewis Harton was up front, and he was expounding to us the wonderful and deep writings of the Apostle Paul. And that was November 22, 1963, and suddenly the door burst open and a very out of breath Professor Leo Van Dolsen stuck his head in the door and said, "Kennedy was shot." You remember where you, now not all of you remember that, but those of you who have been around a while, if you were here on that day, remember where you were. You remember where you were when you heard that. That shot fired round the world, and a while later it was Bobby Kennedy with another shot, and it was Martin Luther King with another shot, both in 1968. All heard round the world, loud, loud shots, heard and known beyond normal earshot. But even so, there is a shout louder than any shot. It's heard by more people, heard farther. In fact, it'll be heard by all people, not just those who are standing and looking in awe, but those who sleep in the dust. It's the shout heard round the world. See if I can make this thing work. No, that's not. There it is. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of God. With the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God. Have you ever stopped to imagine what it would be like to hear God shout? Man, you talk about a shout. Yes, when God shouts, this is what we call the second coming, the hope of all the ages, the parousia, the apocalypse, the end of the world, the dawn of eternity. The world begins and ends with the voice of God. Have you ever thought about that? It does. It begins and it ends with the voice of God. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God said. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And do you notice? God didn't shout. He didn't say, "Let there be light." His word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, it says in the book of Hebrews, and all he had to do was say it. God said, let there be light, and there was light. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. He just spoke. That's all he has to do, and things happen. But then, when everything was all standing there in its sparkling, pristine beauty, the most beautiful sights that the universe has ever seen, fresh from the speaking mouth of the Creator. The Bible says, then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and he shouted, no. He spoke, no. The crowning act of God's creation was the quietest of all. It says, God formed man of the dust of the ground. There's an old poem called The Creation in a book called God's Trombones. It says, and God stepped out on space and he said, I'm going to make me a world. And it goes on in the beautiful old colloquial language. And then it says he reached down into the bottom of the river and he scooped up some clay and he got down on his knees and he formed a man in his own image. And then he bent down like a mama bending over her baby. And he That's all he did. The crowning act of his creation was the quietest of all. He breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Have you ever just thought how it was from Adam's viewpoint? Here came this breath, and Adam opened his eyes, and he looked around, and he says, "Where am I? And who are you? And oh, how beautiful! And oh, you." You made me. Praise to your name, my Lord and my God. And he stood up. The crowning act of God's creation. Now, ain't that better than coming from a blob of slime in a swamp that came from who knows where? I'd rather believe the Bible. I'd rather come from that silent breath of the Most High God than to come from a little amoeba who has no heritage and no explanation. No one can prove that this is not true. Even so, there are many who doubt and many who give long-winded human-generated scientific explanations, but there's no proof for that either. There's no proof either way. There's only evidence, and we choose what we believe. The Bible says, look unto me. and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Now, even though one may believe that God, one may not believe that God spoke and created the world and us, even though one may deny that his life came from the breath of a living God, he will not doubt when he hears God shout. There will be no doubt on that day. The world begins with God speaking and breathing, and it ends with him shouting in victory and conquest, the biggest, loudest, greatest, most glorious "I told you so" that could ever be. He comes with a shout, and every ear shall hear, and every eye shall see him, and every knee shall bow. That is the shout heard round the world. And it says right there in 1 Thessalonians 4, the Lord descends from heaven with a shout. And the full passage says, "I would not have you ignorant, brothers, concerning those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who have no hope." No hope. Man, that's an awful place to be. No hope. Those who do not believe that God is going to shout and bring this old world to its crashing climax are ignorant. That's what it says here. And they are in grief. There's a grief, a pall upon their hearts day by day. Maybe they keep it down. Maybe they don't admit it. Maybe they don't acknowledge it. But there's grief down there, because as they look ahead, they see either nothing or a big unknown, a big question mark. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so also will God bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." Now that is a very significant term. Those who sleep in Jesus. Jesus died on the cross and he went to the grave. And in God's sight, those who trust in Jesus died too. They went to the grave too, represented by Jesus. And then they will come forth literally. We died with him and in him figuratively. We took part in his going to the grave figuratively, and we will rise to eternity literally. That is the blessed hope. You see, the world began with God speaking and breathing. It ends with him shouting. But there is another voice in between. The Bible says that when Jesus stretched out his arms on the cross, it says that after a while there, he cried out with a loud voice. And he said, "Father, I give you my spirit." And he hung his head and died. But those two arms reaching out grasp the beginning and the end. They grasp God's word in the beginning that said, "Let there be light," and they grasp God's victorious shout in the end. And it's Jesus' cry with a loud voice that makes it all possible for us. And then he says, "And so we shall be forever with the Lord," after that shout comes. "We'll be forever with the Lord." Did you see in yesterday's paper, there's a man named John Pace, age 51, in Germantown, Pennsylvania. He's a real math nut. He's a deacon in his local church, and for 14 years, he has been seeking a higher prime number. There's this great search going on with computer geeks all around, and they're trying to find the largest, the word is Mersenne prime number. Devin, you know more about that stuff than I do, but there's this great search trying to find, and our prime number is a number that can't be divided by any number except one and itself. And then there are some other parameters for this Mersenne prime number, but they've found about 50 of them so far as they go on and on and on. And this fellow, he's been searching, and so he set the computer in the church office to going on this software, and it's been working and working and working to try to find this greatest prime number, and lo and behold, he hit the jackpot. And he has found, so far, the largest Mersenne prime number, and it's 23,249,425 digits. Now that's digits. It's not just the number 23 million, it's 23.5 million digits. And so to prove it, And he got this big recognition reward and all that stuff. But they printed out this number. Do you know how type is measured in font sizes? Well, they shrank it down to a 2-point font. You can hardly read a 2-point font. You got to put your bifocals on and adjust them just right, or get a magnifying glass. So they squished it down to a 2-point font, and they set the printer going, and out came a sheet of paper 11 by 17, you know, that legal size. They looked, and it was full of type, and here came another one, and they looked, and that was full of numbers, and here came another 59.5 pages it took to print this number. "When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when he first begun." And if you got 59.5 pages of 2-point type to print the number out, then multiply that by 10 trillion, and you're still going strong up there. Isn't it amazing when you try to think of eternity? These little lives we have here are so short. They're so minuscule. They're so brief compared to what lies ahead. Remember, there are five words that are going to fix everything. Even so, no matter what happens here, even so, it's going to fix it all. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. when you hear about God's shout that's coming, and when you hear about all the tiny, tiny print of that vast number of years, and when you get to the end of it, you're going to have 59 more pages. That's real comforting, isn't it? Things can go wrong here, but even so, it's going to be okay. Lift up the trumpet and loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again. Remember that old song? Cheer up, ye pilgrims. Be joyful and sing. Jesus is coming again. I like that old song. Let not your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust in me. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. He's talking about that shout that he's going to ring out over the world, and nobody's going to miss out. And now here we are, waiting, and it's all over but the shouting. His victory is won. When he was on the cross, he said, "It is finished." Back in Genesis, it says, "Thus were the heavens and the earth finished." God finished his work of creation. And then on Calvary, he finished his work of recreation. And again, he said, "It's finished." And then in Revelation, it says, "There shall be no more curse." I like that. There shall be no more curse. Back there when man sinned, God said that the ground, the earth, was cursed because of sin. And now he says there'll be no more curse. It's going to be lifted. It's going to be taken away. Remember, just five words are going to fix it all. No matter what goes wrong here, it's going to be okay. Even so, you got troubles? Even so. You got problems, you got disappointments, you got a bad diagnosis from the doctor, you got a bad grade on the test, somebody treated you poorly, you lost all your money. Even so, there is that great blessed hope. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We know that that shout will one day, ere long, ring out around the world. And so when something goes wrong, you know what's coming. You know how tiny this life is in the great grand sweep of things. And so just say, even so. Yeah, this happened, but even so, come, Lord Jesus. Can you remember those five words? I'll bet you can. You forget all the details here. Nobody's going to remember it all, but go out of here with those words as a motto. Even so, in spite of it all, no matter what, whatever comes, even so, come, Lord Jesus. No matter how bad it gets here, we can look up. No matter how low we get, we can look up. We can know that we shall hear the shot and the shout heard round the world. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Christ's last words in the Bible are Revelation 22:20. Surely I am coming soon. That's it. That's what he said. In the beginning, God, the Bible says over here on page 1. And on the last page, Jesus says, surely I'm coming soon. In the middle, a lot has happened. And we live here in the middle. But no matter what happens, we say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you today for the blessed hope. Thank you that we, believing in you, are on the winning side. And thank you that when that shout goes forth, we can say, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. Meanwhile, dear Lord, may we trust, may we believe, may we look always up to you and say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.